Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
You may have heard that there's a storm bearing down on the Carolinas on the eastern seaboard. It's expected to make landfall Thursday night.
We want to tell you about Hurricane Florence this morning as well. More than 1 million people have been told to evacuate as the Category 4 storm.
South Carolina officials just a short time ago imploring those in the danger zone, get out of the way. This is a monster storm.
It is expected to have this huge ripple effect for several days and even weeks potentially.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
This happens, of course, every fall. Some hurricane seasons are worse than others. But it does seem like the past couple of years have been worse than usual. Is that the inevitable result of climate change? Is it another aspect of weather that we just have to get used to? How bad could Hurricane Florence be when it hits, and what's different about this storm in particular? And also, what's it like to be a meteorologist right now when your old models are being revised every day, some of them are being thrown out, and both the intensity and duration of these storms are getting harder to predict? Because as you'll understand soon if you don't already, this isn't normal. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
Four meteorologists are sitting there with their laptops, and the new model runs coming in. And we just looked at each other, shaking our heads, going, oh my gosh, this thing's going to sit there for 48 hours and just pound the coast.
Dale Eck is the head of forecast operations for the Americas for the Weather Channel. He's been doing this for decades. He's hunkered down right now at TWC headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, where they're bracing for the storm's impact. Dale, what's it like in the newsroom right now ahead of the storm?
There's a lot of buzz and activity. There's a lot of people that there's probably twice as many people as there would be on a normal day. Some of those people are out in the field. There's a lot of consultation that goes on between the meteorologist and those that are doing that aren't meteorologists and are producing TV, people that are producing content for weather.com, people that are putting content out on our mobile apps. They're all getting briefed a couple of times a day from the meteorologist. I do a lot of them. I'm kind of the interface between my team of meteorologists and these editorial teams. So the difference is that there's a buzz. There's a lot of food. They keep bringing food in to keep people nourished. And I guess eventually, you know, you may see some cots, or there probably are hotel rooms, but there's a lot going on in Atlanta this weekend, so I don't know if they've got many hotel rooms that are available, plus people fleeing the storm are actually coming to Atlanta.
Right.
We go into severe mode. For instance, on the digital side, we have a severe, hybrid severe and severe mode that we go into, which kind of changes how we do advertising, how we do our content on the website, what we might do different, putting out alerts over the digital platforms, et cetera. I believe, and I'm not as close to it because I don't directly work with the TV network.
Right.
I'm kind of support them. I think they have various modes as well. I think if you look at the TV screen, the L bar comes up, and there's always a track on the right side of the screen, and there's certain things that they do to make sure that we're giving people information. And there's a lot more, you know, live crews. I think this time around there's like 17 people out in the field covering this hurricane.
How bad is it right now? And how bad could it be by Thursday night? I mean, we just keep hearing. I want to kind of cut through some of the stuff we hear, because every time I turn on CNN or any of the major channels, I see unprecedented and catastrophic. And I feel like I hear that about most hurricanes.
I think the thing that we're seeing with this is it is obviously a strong Category 4. And the reason that we think there's a couple of reasons those expletives are being used to describe Florence. Number one is the first thing is there's nothing that's going to weaken it. So as it comes close to the coast, it is going to be a major hurricane. And hurricanes this strong typically don't get as far north as North Carolina. We've had some strong ones, but they're usually starting to get picked up by the jet stream and curving, and they usually move pretty quickly. The other thing that is going to make this, you know, life-threatening, et cetera, and could be disastrous is the fact that it's going to stall just near the coast or just offshore. And so instead of getting a hurricane where it gets really windy and gusty for about 6 hours and then it moves along, we're talking 2 days of hurricane conditions in eastern North Carolina and then slowly drifting down into South Carolina. So it's both the strength of the system and the duration. What's really usually a very critical thing is when a tropical system is coming ashore, is it coming at a time of high tide, that means more storm surge, or is it coming at a time of low tide, which would mean a little less storm surge or water coming across the coast? And because of this thing stalling and sitting there for 48 hours or so, multiple high tide cycles will be occurring while there are hurricane force conditions pushing onto the coast. So that's why I think, you know, we saw it last year with Harvey. Harvey that hit the Texas coast. The models were coming along, and it intensified very rapidly before landfall. Fortunately, landfall was at a lower populated area. But the models had a good handle on it, and we were sitting there going, oh, my gosh, the models are forecasting 40 and 50 inches of rain. That can't happen.
Yeah.
But it did. And the reason is when you're in a tropical air mass, the amount of moisture is goes up exponentially for what a system can do. So this thing is going to probably put 3 feet of water somewhere in eastern North Carolina or eastern South Carolina.
What do your models say about this hurricane season in general? I feel like last season was already pretty devastating with both Harvey and Maria.
Right now it is very active. One anomalous thing that we've seen as far as this hurricane season is concerned is, first of all, it usually starts ramping up during the month of August. And August was actually very quiet. We were like, oh my gosh, there's nothing going on. We were watching the waves come off Africa. And the reason was they call it the Bermuda High, but high pressure that typically sits over the Atlantic was extremely strong and suppressed to the south. And so what that did is in the main development region between Africa and the Caribbean, where the tropics develop or these systems develop, the atmosphere was just very stable and very dry, and all these waves just could never get the thunderstorms to start to develop a tropical system. And it was almost like September 1st, the switch got thrown. The high built up farther to the north and off the New England coast, and that now allowed all these waves to develop in a more unstable atmosphere. So, yes, it is. It got active very quickly as we went through the first couple of weeks of September. And right now, yeah, I'm sitting looking at the screen. We've got basically five systems. We've got Florence and Helene, which are hurricanes. We've got Tropical Storm Isaac, which is about to hit the Leeward Islands. And there's a disturbance coming into the Gulf that might form into a tropical storm. And there's another kind of a hybrid. It's a subtropical low that's in the central Atlantic that may eventually form into a subtropical storm. But that one and Helene are looking to turn east and northeast, and they may eventually impact in some way the weather in Europe. But Florence is heading to the U.S., and it's going to be a devastating hurricane for the Carolinas. And even back as it drifts southwest along the coast, and then eventually might even impact Georgia, we could be getting some gusty winds in Georgia to 50 to 70 miles an hour before this thing is all said and done Monday. And then finally, it's going to start moving up toward the Ohio River Valley and kind of getting out of the way.
Is that kind of quantity of storms at once when you look at the screens like that? Is that usual?
No, it's not usual. It's not usual. Usually what we are in the time of year when there typically is the most tropical activity. So having it be active in the tropics in the middle of September is not unusual, but it's the synoptic pattern that we're in with this ridge being over New England, and these waves can just get steered to the west and then turn around the high to the northwest.
How do you kind of balance the your nature as a sort of scientist and meteorologist to say, you know, this just changes season to season, and the requests from the media and from people like me who want to know what exactly is climate change responsible for? Is this going to get worse? Can we blame climate change for this?
I think climate is averages over long periods of time.
Yes.
And weather is the day-to-day, where are the storms, where are the high-pressure systems, where are they going, where are the fronts, where are they moving to and from. One thing I will say is that with the warmer atmosphere, there definitely has been a trend toward these high rainfall events, whether it be from a tropical system, whether it be from a front, whether it be from a stalled front. There's just a lot more that we see that I've noticed over the last 30 years. Each year, I think we keep getting more and more of these heavy rain events where you get flooding, inland flooding, everywhere across the U.S. from
right.
the plains.
Not even necessarily hurricanes.
Yes, yes. And then obviously, the hurricanes and the tropical systems. Once you're in a tropical atmosphere, the amount of moisture goes up even more. So that's why as these tropical systems come over inland, they're dumping amounts of rain we haven't seen before.
In the long view, what's the future of the eastern seaboard, especially given more incredibly high precipitation events?
I think it's going to vary year to year. I still think there's enough that the 1 week and 2 week atmospheric conditions play a big role in how tropical systems either don't develop, develop, and how they move. So I think there's still going to be a lot of variability, but I would say what I have seen, though, in the last several years is this propensity for extreme rainfall from even winter systems, let alone tropical systems. So I think that's really... I can get into a long thing here, but what really has happened is when I started out in the business, there was a lot more what we call zonal flow. The jet stream was moving from west to east, and there were fronts embedded in that. There were storms embedded in that. And then there were high pressure systems that came in behind the storms. And a lot of it was west to east movement in the mid latitudes. What we're seeing now with the added heat in the atmosphere, there's more amplitude to the jet stream, so it will go way north up in Alaska, record warmth. Then it'll dip down and it'll bring record cold and a snowstorm to the east coast of the United States. So there's more amplitude to the jet stream with the added heat because these ridges are bigger, and then so you still have cold, and cold is going to come down, but it's more limited in the aerial extent to which it gets really cold. And so I think that's what I've seen is more of this high amplitude stuff, and that can pump a lot of moisture northward, and that's why we get these heavy rain events. And then it can also bring some cold air pretty far south, but more and limited in scope because there's just not as much cold. But they still get cold building in the Arctic, and as the jet stream goes, you have a high amplitude ridge and then a deep trough. That cold will come down into the mid-latitudes. It's just probably not as expansive as it used to be 30 years ago.
It's kind of a strange question, but as somebody who's deeply into this stuff, does this kind of weather excite you or depress you?
I guess as a meteorologist, I do get excited when I see strong storms and extreme weather. There's a side of me that enjoys being in an environment where this stuff is happening. But on the other end of the scale, when you see the, whether you call it destruction, flooding, the impacts that it has on people, it kind of makes you take a deep breath and go, the first time I remember really doing this was it was back when there was a big tornado outbreak in Alabama, and we're looking at the models, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a big one. This is going to be a big one. And the day after the event, there was a sinking feeling in my stomach that as much as we helped prepare people and we told them it was coming and the warnings were going out and the watches and everybody knew it was coming, if you did not have a storm shelter or a basement, people died because there was nowhere to go to get away from it. And I think for this system coming to the coast, I mean, and there are people that are stubborn and say, I'm going to ride it out.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
I don't know, because I think it's part of their past. I've lived here 30 years, and I've never had a hurricane that caused me much more than a few shingles off my roof. But every storm is different, and we can say this is life-threatening. You do not want to be anywhere at all on the coast as this thing is coming on shore. You need to get away. And the other thing that's hard, though, is to really have people prepare for these inland flood events. I mean, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to predict where the heaviest is going to be. We know someone's going to get a ton of rain, but exactly where we can't tell you. And because of the high hourly rainfall rates, people can get overwhelmed before they even know what's going on. And they can get stuck in their house or stuck in, you know.
Right.
So all I can say about this one is we know it's strong. We know it's going to be a long duration event for people that are on the coast of North and South Carolina. And I know for myself, I'd be hightailing it out of there. I've got children that are in school in Central Georgia and Eastern Georgia. And I'm like, I think you guys might want to come home on Saturday back to Atlanta, get a little farther away from the wind. Because,
wow.
You know, I mean, it's the case of there's two parts to it, which is, number one, you can get directly impacted by there could be a wind gust that knocks a tree on your house. And, you know, the threat of that as you get closer to the coast gets higher and higher.
Yeah.
And the other side of it is that with this long duration event, I mean, you could be talking, if you stayed, let's say you didn't get into the water and you didn't get the storm surge, but you could be without power for weeks and weeks. And would you want to live in that situation? And you know, sometimes even, you know, having relatives that have endured some tropical systems down in the panhandle of Florida, we're like, why don't you just come to Atlanta? They're like, oh, we're okay. We go to friends who have power every few hours a day. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's one thing to see the storm and see the power and say, oh, my gosh. I mean, it was with this hurricane stalling. I was sitting in an editorial meeting yesterday. Four meteorologists are sitting there with their laptops, and the new model runs coming in. And we just looked at each other, shaking our heads, going, oh, my gosh, this thing's going to sit there for 48 hours and just pound the coast. And, you know, it's kind of like you're looking at it on a model, and you go, oh, my gosh. And each model run, you know, there are subtle differences about where it's going to be the worst, but it's going to be the worst somewhere, and yeah. We're confident of that. And that's the scary part.
Thanks so much for taking the time today, Dale. I hope your team stays safe out there.
Yeah, okay. You take care.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
Dale Eck, head of forecast operations for the Americas for the Weather Channel. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Check out our old episodes. You can find us on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And please do rate and review and tell your friends. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and we'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.